Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society.
On our podcast today, we continue our series on empowerment by focusing on the idea of self-empowerment. We hope you enjoy it, and with nothing else to say, let us begin.
Welcome back, everybody, to Disruptive Adventism. Today, we're going to be talking about the topic of empowerment, as I shared in the introduction, and we have a special guest. His name is Kojo. How's it going, Kojo?
Hey, man, Jose. I'm chilling. I'm doing well. I'm finally happy to be on this podcast, man.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you here, and, you know, today you're going to be sharing with us about the topic of empowerment and how important it is for Adventists today, for people today. As far as I understand, you run a nonprofit. Is that correct?
Yes, I run a nonprofit. The name of the nonprofit is called Mission Driven Purpose. It started in 2013, and it's still existing till this day. And at the moment, I serve as the president or the chief director of the organization.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit more. What do you guys do? What's the whole purpose of Mission Driven Purpose? What is it that you guys focus on? And also share a little bit about yourself. What do you like to do? What are the plans for the future? Any ladies, you know, whatever you want to share?
Nah, I got you, man. I love those questions, man. Well, first of all, Mission Driven Purpose, we started in 2013. The way it started was that, you know, there were a group of four individuals, including myself. I made up one of that four. And we were doing service and mission trips on our own. And we said to ourselves, you know, a lot of people want to come with us on this. A lot of people want to serve with us. Why don't we give people a platform so that they could do this? And so that's when we formed together and called ourselves Mission Driven Purpose. And so at first, our only focus was evangelism. That's all we were doing. And when I say evangelism, I'm talking about real pioneering work. And so we were going into places where Adventists were not. And then when we would go in those places, we would, you know, strike up some sort of evangelistic initiative in order to help build a new Adventist church in that area. However, as we kept on growing, we started to morph and add additional things to the organization. And did two additional things we added to evangelism. First, we added community development. And so we didn't want to just go to communities and evangelize. We wanted to go to communities and empower the individuals in those communities to take responsible for the development of their own communities. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we helped build water wells, you know, churches, that kind of thing. Then we added an extra component, which is what I call holistic empowerment. We realized that on the team, we have a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of skills, and a wealth of experience. And so we realized that with all of that, we can, this is the key word now, we could add value to people's lives. And so that's when we came up with the next tier of holistic empowerment so that we could add value to people's lives with the skills, the knowledge, and the experience that we have. I hope I explained it well on that.
You have explained it very well. Right. Now you kind of touch on the topic of empowerment. So yeah. Let's start with some basic kind of laying the ground. What is empowerment in your view?
Empowerment, in my view, is assisting an individual, providing the atmosphere, providing the setting for an individual to become their best selves.
Okay.
That's what it is to me.
Now, Right? Is their best selves specific areas, or are we talking about, like, you know, empowerment only in academics or empowerment?
Perfect. Great question. That's why the key word is holistic.
Okay.
And so the key word is that we try to help people become their best selves in all aspects of it. Whether it's spiritually, whether it's just mentally, whether it's emotionally, whether it's even socially, whether it's in their career. And so that's the idea. You know, it's you self-actualize in all the different areas that need self-actualization.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you kind of touch on the word self-actualization. I assume that you're kind of looking at Maslow's theory,
going to that top, psychological, and
going up, becoming self-actualized in all the areas of life.
Right.
Now, when it comes to empowerment, since it's the ability, as you put it, to be your best self, How has that been seen in the projects that you have done or maybe in your life?
Okay, yeah, perfect, man. Well, I think that when it comes to holistic empowerment, the first person to always empower is the self, is always to empower you. I remember I read a quotation one time that said that our first responsibility to humanity is self-development. Mm. I remember I was listening to a guy called Dan Locke, and Dan Locke was saying that, you know, they call him the king of high ticket sales. And someone one time asked him a question. They said, what should I invest in? You know, should I invest in stocks, mutual funds? He looked at him and said, if you're making less than $100,000 a year, invest in yourself. I love how he said it. He said, invest in yourself. That's the best investment you can make. So when it comes to empowerment, the way I think of it is the first person that needs to empower is me. And so how do I empower myself? You know, I just put up a post on either Facebook or WhatsApp talking about how I empower myself daily. I can just give you a couple of ways.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. The first way I empower myself is that I constantly, every single month, I submit myself to a lot of reading constantly. Mm. And so almost every single month, I buy a new book for my own self-development. Every single month, I read a new book. Every single month, I reread an old book. Mm. And every single month, I read 30 plus articles on a certain topic I'm interested in. And so I submit myself to a rigorous process of reading, because someone gave me a quotation one time. He said that those who read are those who lead. And so you can't be a leader if you're not a reader. And those who write keep the leaders right. And so for me, I always keep that philosophy within my brain. And so I'm constantly reading. And when I read, let me also say this too, and this is part of empowerment. When I read, my goal is not just to read a book. My goal is to use a book. Hmm. You see, a lot of people read books, but they don't use books. And so at the end of the day, they have knowledge, but the knowledge never transfers into their lives. And so at the end of the day, I'm not just looking to read, I'm looking to use. So sometimes I may pick up a book, and I'm not into finishing four books. I'm into saying, what can I get from this book so I can just use it right now in my life? And so that's what I do with reading.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now, you say that reading is very important. So mm-hmm. do you and your projects also provide that kind of background or maybe some resources for people to be empowered in that way?
Good, perfect. Well, we're in the process of developing our own resources as an organization. Okay. We have not done that yet. But of course, if people come to us and ask us, you know, what is the best for evangelism? What's the best for finances? What's the best for leadership? What's the best for, we can go ahead and we give those type of recommendations. As of now, the organization is transitioning to a big phase in its life where we're going to start producing those type of products.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's yep. good to know. Mm-hmm. You were saying there are other methods, right?
Yes.
So you're saying reading is mainly mental development, right?
Reading is mainly mental development, right? Yeah.
And uh-huh. I guess it translates to action, of course.
Yes, of course.
But what are other habits or things that we can do in order to be empowered?
Okay.
Or empower ourselves?
Okay, yeah, perfect. Well, I'll just keep talking about myself because that's the first person I can talk about.
That's right.
So some other ways, of course, these kind of relate to mental empowerment, but I always think mental empowerment is important because at the end of the day, everything begins with the mind. Mm-hmm. And not just with the mind, it begins with the mindset. And so the proper mindset leads to the proper lifestyle.
Okay.
Because in the words of John Maxwell, attitude is everything. And so another way I try to develop the mind is I exercise. Okay. I give myself, that to me, that's a big part of empowerment. And so I submit myself to a daily exercise routine where I'm hitting the gym in the morning. The only machine I hit over there is what I call the Stairmaster, because that works that works out every part of my body. But let me give you some other ways that I also empower myself. These are also very interesting. I listen to about 20 to 40 video lectures per month.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And you know what I do? You know, there's something called, you know, people say you have to manage your time. I don't manage my time. I maximize my time. So how do I maximize my time? What I do is that if I have, let's say I'm driving, I don't use that time of driving just to like listen to music or just look at the birds and the trees. No, I have my phone up and I'm playing some sort of video so I can listen to a lecture. If I get back home and I'm about to sleep, you know, even if I'm playing a game, I have a lecture playing so that I can constantly be listening to it. So I don't just manage time, I maximize time. Now, the next thing also as well, in order to help develop myself, is that I have about three to four mentors. Mm-hmm. I make sure that every single month I'm contacting at least one of them. I have those different mentors because those different mentors help me in different areas. And so I make sure that constantly I'm contacting them. And when I contact them, I'm having 2 to 3 hour conversations with them. Sometimes just about life, sometimes just updating about myself. And it helps because you get knowledge, you get to kind of like, you know, you get emotional release, all that kind of stuff. Another big thing I do to also empower myself is that I have a great group of friends in my life. You know, people always complain about friends. I don't have the right friend. No. I've been blessed with the best friends.
Awesome.
I mean, I have the best friends in my life. I have friends who are go-getters. I have friends who are trying to change the world. I have friends who read, who develop themselves. And so because of that, I'm constantly talking to them. For example, I have a friend who does marriage, counseling, therapy, all that kind of stuff. So I always call him to get the latest on marriage. So when people are talking to me on marriage, they're like, man, how are you so knowledgeable on this thing? Well, it's not because I read everything on marriage, but I got that friend who knows about marriage.
You got that guy.
So, boom. So I tap into the resource. Right. Another person who I talk to right now is business. You know, I talk to a guy who does monetizing your skills. So, man, he's always teaching me these. So people come talk to me sometimes. I'm like, yeah, hey, do this, do that. Man, how you know so much? Well, I may not read everything on it, but I got the friend who reads everything on it. So that's how I stay in contact with it. I don't know if that makes sense.
So you're saying that part of the empowerment meant for the person, for myself, mm-hmm. it's also having a community.
Oh my gosh. Kind of, well, I don't think you can be, I'm going to go on a limb and say this. I don't think you can be empowered outside of community.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I think you need community to be empowered because, you know, I always use this analogy. I used to play basketball. I know I'm a short guy. You know, y'all can't see it on the podcast, but, you know, I'm about 5'5", 5'6". And so, but I used to play basketball sometimes, man. And, you know, when I played basketball, this was one of my high school days, I would go out in the park and I would practice by myself. Now, Jose, by myself, I'm hitting jump shots. Mm-hmm. I'm doing spin moves. I'm better than Michael Jordan when I'm by myself.
For sure.
Okay, but all of a sudden, let's say, you know, some people come on the court. Now, when the people come on the court, man, I'm shooting now, but I'm not hitting as much anymore. You know why? I got a hand in my face. You know, I'm dribbling, but I'm not doing as much crossovers. Why? I got a body in front of me. And so I realized that when I started playing with others, it started to expose my weaknesses and the weaknesses I couldn't see when I was practicing by myself. And so playing with others exposed my weaknesses so that when I started practicing by myself, I could get even better. So community is needed because community helps to discover sometimes who you really are. Mm. That's why I think you need to be in community to be empowered, because one of the biggest aspects of empowerment is self-awareness. And self-awareness comes, number one, through self-reflection. That's the individual training I was doing on the basketball court. I'm still running with my extended metaphor. But self-awareness also comes by being in community. Wait, what do you think about me? What do you think is my strength and my weaknesses? Asking people those type of questions.
I see that. Then, yeah, for sure, community is key. It's a key component. Now, when it comes to empowerment, you talked about self-empowerment.
Okay.
What about empowering others? That's correct. So how do we do that? I mean, you share like some resources or some ways that you have found helpful for yourself to be, to empower, you know, yourself, but what about others? How do we make that transition? Because sometimes it's hard, right, to make the transition to, okay, like I'm living a good life, but how do I convince other people to maybe adopt, or maybe how can I make them see the beautiful blessing or the beautiful outcomes that have come out of me shaping my life in a different way? How do we do that?
Well, I always say, man, I can't empower someone if someone doesn't want to be empowered themselves. I can only help an individual to the extent that they want to be helped. Matter of fact, you know, I was talking to a psychologist, and the psychologist told me that one of the first rules in counseling is that the counselor is going to only put as much work in as the counselee is also going to put work in. Because at the end of the day, I can't help you more than you want to be helped. And so when it comes to empowering, that's the key. Because if I don't do that, then at the end of the day, I could be forcing down something on you and it's going to make you reject me. And so the first thing I look for is people who want it. People who have some sort of inkling that I want to be better than who I am right now. Who have this inkling of I want growth. And so that is the first step. The first step is to see that this person has it doesn't have to be strong or overwhelming. It just got to be a little spark. And all I got to do is start working with the spark. I don't know if you see what I'm saying.
Yes.
And so that's one of the first and the biggest steps. The next step is to do an assessment on the individual. You know, there's a story about the monkey and the fish. I don't know if you ever heard that story before. Pretty much the monkey with the fish is this. There was a lot of water in a stream. You know, the water was moving really fast. And so the monkeys felt like they were in danger due to the water. So the monkeys jumped up to the tree. So once the monkeys jumped up to the tree, they saw some fish were in the water. And they said, oh my goodness, these fish are going to be destroyed by the water. We got to take out these fish from the water in order to save their lives. And so the monkeys jumped down into the water and they picked up all the fish that they could and they put the fish on dry land. And they said, wow, look at us. We saved the fish. We saved the fish from the flood. But then they didn't really save the fish. They killed the fish.
That's right.
In other words, we call that monkey solutions. A help that's really a hurt. Okay, that's the same idea when it comes to empowerment. I don't want to provide a help that's a hurt. And so because of that, the problem with the monkey is that they didn't understand the nature of the fish. Hence, they provided the quote-unquote the monkey solution. In the same sort of way, I don't want to provide the monkey solution to an individual. So if I'm going to empower someone, my first goal is to do an assessment on someone. Who are you? Where do you come from? What do you do? What are your background experiences? What brought you to who you are today? So on and so forth, so that I can provide, you know, the empowerment that you need. What do you want? That's the question I'm asking. What do you want? Where do you see yourself? What are your values? What is your identity? You know, I'm asking those type of questions. So when I understand you, then I can start to provide coaching. I can start to provide advice that is suitable towards who you are.
Very good. Now, how is empowerment? You're an Adventist, right?
Yes.
How is empowerment different, distinct, disruptive even for an Adventist? How do you operate that makes your empowerment or the empowerment that your organization is doing different than someone else in the street. Like, let's say you listen to another podcast or you listen to another leadership guru or a book or something like that. What is something distinct that Adventism brings into the idea of empowerment?
Perfect. And by the way, when it comes to empowerment, don't forget, I had to talk to you something about the empowerment triangle. I had to talk to you about that.
Sounds good.
That is how I empower, the empowerment triangle. It's how I empowered my staff members as a president, and how I also empowered the individuals that we serve. So I'll talk about that, but I want to answer your question first because your question is very important. In order for a person to be empowered, really to be empowered, they need some sort of framework, some sort of ideological or physical, ideological or philosophical framework that they operate within life. Everyone has it. Everyone has a set of ethics, a set of values, a set of just fill in the blank that they base their lives on, a set of principles that they live on. Everyone has it, whether they're aware of it or unaware of it. The technical term for that is worldview. Perfect. I don't know if you see where I'm setting the bases. Okay, now watch how I'm going to build this. Worldview establishes your identity, who you are. Good. Number two, worldview establishes your values, what you consider to be important. And then number three, worldview establishes your purpose, what you consider you're here for. And then finally, worldview would establish your destiny. Once those things I have just mentioned, identity, values, purpose, and destiny, once those things are stacked up, it forms the framework of who you are and how you will live in this world. That's what it is. If I'm empowering someone, those are the four things I'm looking for: identity, values, purpose, and ultimately destiny. And so with that being, really those three things will lead to your destiny. So ultimately what I'm trying to say to you right now is that, how does Adventist empowerment make someone unique? Here it is. This is the answer. Where it makes it unique is that I try to give a person a biblical worldview, so that that biblical worldview can shape their identity, so that their identity is not just based off cultural items, it's based off biblical items, so that their purpose is not just based off cultural, biblical, so on and so forth for the other categories. So that now when they engage in the world, they can engage in the world in a biblical way, but not, you know, Jesus says, be in the world, but not of the world. So they can mingle with the world, but they don't necessarily have to adopt the identity, the values, and the purposes of the world. And in doing that, they can be the salt of the world, because as the salt of the world, you bring out the best from the world, salt brings out the best flavor, and you preserve the morality of the world. So anyway, that's pretty much the big picture of how that works.
Now, before we go into the triangle, because I know you're eager to share with that, how is that different? Like, let's say that we have an outcome. We want to empower a community, right?
Yes,
and we want to bring them to be their best selves.
Yes.
What is the different flavor that the biblical lens allows you to look at the world through that other lenses don't?
Perfect. I like it. You just built right off my response. I love it. Let me just give you one simple one. The biblical worldview says that when it comes to my identity, I am not defined first and foremost by what I do. I am not even defined by where I am from, ethnicity, or I'm not even defined by what the social scientists say I am, millennial, Gen X, or Gen Z, metamodern, whatever. I'm defined by the fact that I'm a child of God. Okay, so if I'm defined by the fact that I'm a child of God, that means that all other individuals in this world are also children of God, meaning that I should treat them in the same way that I would also want to be treated as well. Do you know what that does? It nullifies racism. Do you know what that does? It nullifies xenophobia. You know what that does? It nullifies chauvinism. Do you know what it does? It nullifies all of those isms, ethnocentrisms, that place one group above another. So that's one of the biggest things that we do. We try to get people to show that your identity is that you're a child of God. Now, because you're a child of God, what are the full implications of that? Then we start to show people. I remember when I was in a certain country. I was in a country called Kenya. And I was trying to show people that, I mean, in Kenya, they have a big problem of attaching their identities to their tribes. And so tribes are constantly in conflict over there, even within the church. So I remember when I was in there, we were doing that surgical work of letting people know that your primary identity is not that you're a Kisi or that you're a Kikuyu. Your primary identity is that you're in Christ, and that trumps that Kikuyu or Kisi card. And so you all have to be able to deal with each other in that way. And we saw powerful transformations when we were over there and we were teaching this sort of identity and this sort of worldview. Is that one example that works really
That's
well?
That's a very good example.
I know that's what you wanted.
No, it's a very good example. I think I agree with you. It changes the way that you see others and that you see yourself, you know, because it allows you to place value.
Yes.
It allows you to say, you know what, I'm a valuable individual. I'm not just a product of chance.
Yes.
And that, I guess, Yes. Helps you to, I don't know, want to be your best self, as you share, and yes. to want others to yes. also
and you know, the reason why you're your best self is because I remember I was reading one of my favorite guys, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He has a sermon called Love Your Enemies, powerful sermon. And within the sermon, there's something that I will never forget. He said that ultimately, let's just take one example of what I just said. Let's just take racism or whatever. We could put any ism in there. He said, ultimately, first of all, those things, it stems from ignorance. The ignorance produces fear in your heart. The fear makes you lash out in hatred or pride or an attitude of superiority. Okay, now here's what he said that I'll never forget. He said, the problem with hatred is that hatred does more damage to the person who is hating rather than the person who is being hated upon. Because the person who is hating, it destroys you. It destroys your symbol of objectivity. What is beautiful, you start to see as ugly. What is ugly, you start to see as beautiful. The hatred destroys you. So if I can liberate someone from that hatred, I have done a massive job in helping them improve their own lives simply by changing that worldview that you're really a child of God. You kind of see what I'm saying there. So, you know, that's why I love when Dr. King said that when we are, you know, King was saying that when we are preaching against racism, we're not just trying to deliver the oppressed. We're also trying to deliver the oppressor. Because in racism, what you're doing is that you're helping the person who is a racist be delivered from that very demon that is destroying them. And so that is just I'm working out the full implications of self-actualization. I don't know if that makes sense. Yes. And I just use racism, and that's a narrow discussion. I can talk about tribalism. I can talk about nationalism. I can expand it out.
Different isms and how they can be solved through. I think you bring up a very good point that is communication, discussion, and allowing these interactions to occur will produce empowerment for both individuals and will cure certain, you know, the tough discussions that we need to have in society. It's just taking the first step trying to look at it from that lens of, hey, we are both valuable individuals. Let's get the best out of ourselves. Before I forget, go ahead and tell us more about the triangle of empowerment.
Perfect. Let me talk about the triangle, Kyra. So pretty much when I'm trying to empower someone, this is pretty much the, as I said to you before, you always need a philosophical framework within you operate out of. So this is my framework that I operate out of in order to empower an individual. I didn't come up with it myself, so let me give credit. One of my mentors, his name is called Tom Evans, is the one who actually taught me this triangle. And so this is how the triangle works. The triangle has a base, right? And the base of a triangle is we're going to put the word belief. Then we have two sides of the triangle. One of the sides we're going to put opportunity. The other side we're going to put support. Let me explain. In order to empower a person, the first thing I have to get a person to do is to believe in themselves.
Okay.
Critical. If I don't get you to believe yourself, I won't get you to do nothing. You understand what I'm saying? I need you to get you to believe that. And when I say believe yourself, let me even clarify what I mean. I don't necessarily believe in yourself in a modern psychological self-esteem way. I really mean believing yourself in terms of God esteem. But don't just believe in yourself, believe in what God can do through you. Believe that you have been given something special by God in order to impact and change this world. You have to come to that mindset, and I have to encourage you, whether it's through words, whether it's through actions, whether it's through a crisis in your life, I have to get you to the part to believe that you should believe in yourself and you should believe in what God can do through you. That's my first job, to empower you. Now, after I get you to a point where you, and then also watch this, the biggest way to get someone to believe in themselves is to believe in them. As a matter of fact, there's a preacher that I love. His name is called David Asher. He always says to himself, he says, confidence inspires confidence. Belief inspires belief. Faith inspires faith. So that's the first, that's one of the things I'm going to do. I'm going to say, I believe in you, Jose. I believe in you. Nah, Koja, I don't think. I believe you. Okay, Jose, talk to me. Why do you think that way? I'm trying to help you work through those objections so you can get to a point where you believe in yourself. Boom. Now, after I get you to a point where you believe in yourself, I have to go to the next side of the triangle, which is opportunity. What I'll do at that moment is I'll try to give you an opportunity in order to exercise your skills, your knowledge, or your experience. Give you some sort of opportunity. Now, it's critical. Now, what I'm going to say, I'm going to start giving the implications for this for churches and stuff like that. It's going to be powerful. So just watch me carefully. So I have to give you an opportunity to exercise your gifts. Why? 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 Because if I don't give you the opportunity, you won't think that I really believe in you. You see how this works when it comes to youth, how youth are complaining in the church. Okay, I'll get in there. Let me finish this triangle. Then after I give you that opportunity, I don't leave you on your own to just do what you got to do. What I do is the next side of the triangle is I provide you ongoing support. Ongoing support can come in the form of assessments, evaluation. It can come in the form of giving you resources. It can come in the form of fill in the blank. I give you support in order to continually help you out. So first, I believe in you, get you to believe in yourself. Then I give you some sort of opportunity for you to, you know, demonstrate your skill, your gift, or whatever. Then as you're doing that with the opportunity, I provide continually support so that you can do it in a better way. So that's how I did it for all my staff members. For example, and I can share this with you because she shares it all the time. My secretary, my executive secretary who's on the staff, you know, when she first came on in 2014, I mean, she was timid, she was shy, she was all those kind of things. She didn't feel confident. For some reason, I saw that she could be a type of person who'd be invaluable to our organization. So I said, you come along. So I went through the same process. The first thing, I said, hey, her name is Eva. I said, Eva, I believe in you. You can do this. We had that whole conversation. Why do you believe? We went through that whole conversation. Then after that, I said, okay, Eva, I'm going to give you opportunity now. You're going to be the secretary, but I'm going to give you some small responsibilities at first. First, the responsibility is taking the minutes, so on and so forth. Next, the responsibility is sending the emails. But then after that, I said, as you're doing this, I'm going to be providing ongoing support. So I'll call on the phone and say, okay, you know, draft up something, share it with me so I can show you, you know, the pros, the cons, so that you can get better. I went through that whole process where then we started giving her bigger responsibility. We said, okay, now on this next mission trip, we want you to lead the mission. Mm. Whoa. Okay, no problem.
That's a big change.
Yeah, no, it's huge. It was huge. But I had been developing for 2 years. So in 2 years, I said, we want you to lead the mission. So throughout the planning of the mission, I was helping and supporting her, so on and so forth. Then, boom, I went on the mission with her. And while we were on the mission together, of course, she was, hey, Coach, how do we do it? Okay, then this is the biggest moment of the power. Last year, I said, okay, Eva, we have to do a mission in Canada, but I can't be there. I need you to run it by yourself. Mm. And that was the climax. That was the peak point. She ran that mission by herself. I wasn't even there. And it was one of the most successful missions that we've ever had. And that was a clear case of how from 3 years, a person was empowered to be their best selves.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, as we start to wrap up,
yeah.
Share with us a little bit more about mission-driven purpose and how people can get involved. Like, let's say one of our listeners is listening. It's like, man, like, you know, I like this organization. Yeah. I like the triangle of empowerment. Yeah. I understand that, hey, maybe I can join and tap into this and seize the opportunity in order to learn how to empower myself and start empowering others. So how can somebody get involved with mission-driven purpose?
Very easy, very simple. We don't make it hard at all. We're very accessible people. All you have to do is email us at asnmissiondrivenpurpose@gmail.com. asnmissiondrivenpurpose@gmail.com. And when you do, you just send in what you want. You just say, I want to sign up on your mission trip. What's it called? My PR director is so fast, so quick. We have a 24 to 48 hour turnaround time for response. And he will get that response right over to you and get your application. Just say, I want to be a volunteer. I want to go with you guys from place to place. Just send that and we'll email you. Or just say, I want to sign up for your emailing list. Perfect. That's where I wanted to go. I want to sign up for your emailing list so that from there, we'll always send you updates and events of what we're doing. For example, one of the biggest events that we're about to have coming up is a workshop called How to Monetize Your Skills. This is one of the best workshops that you're ever going to be in, because what we're going to teach you here is how you can just take a simple skill that you have, whether it's speaking, whether it's drawing, whether it's photography, and monetize it in such a way where you can start making even a six-figure income. And so we're going to be hosting that somewhere here in Barron Springs, Michigan, and I think it's going to be awesome. People are going to really love it. So anyway.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for that short, you know, kind of how to contact and how to get involved. Before we tune out, before we start going off, mm-hmm. I want to give you an opportunity to give us a final word on empowerment. What do you want us to remember? What do you want us to not forget, but always apply in our lives?
Okay. I'll say it this way. Life is, I'll say in the words of Eric Thomas. Eric Thomas is a motivational speaker. I love one thing he always says, and I always keep it with me. He says, be phenomenal or be forgotten. Be phenomenal or be forgotten. I want to encourage you to be a person who is fully empowered and continually in the process of empowering so that you can be a phenomenal force in this world to leave a legacy, to impact, and to change. If not, you will be forgotten. So it's either the choice is either between empowerment or non-existence. It's yours.
That was our conversation with founder of Mission Driven Purpose, Koyo Tumwasi. If you want to participate on the conference mentioned in the podcast, sign up at evanbright.com and search Monetizing Your Skills, or go to their Facebook page named ASN Mission Driven Purpose.
Thank you for listening today. We appreciate that you have taken the time to listen to our podcast and ask that you share it with others. Please leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcatching app. If you're enjoying our content, we want to invite you to consider contributing to our cause by becoming a patron, where you will receive exclusive content, have the ability to sit down with the Disruptive Adventism team, and ask relevant questions for Adventism and society. If you're interested in contributing, head to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. Another avenue for contribution is to purchase our merchandise through Amazon or tpublic.com. You can find the links for merchandise on our Facebook or Instagram pages. We also hope that our content has intrigued you a little bit and that you decide to stay around for future podcasts. If you have any comments, feedback, or a topic you would like us to discuss, please go to our website at www.disruptiveadventism.org or shoot us an email to disruptiveadventism@gmail.com. We're eager to engage in discussions about any matter, so don't hesitate to contact us. This has been it for today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.